thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with my boy Ray Jeezy. I'm Wole. Will T is out sick. What's going on, Ray Jeezy?
Hey, chilling. Glad to be here talking sports. We're going to see if this is the last Wizards game with fans in the crowd. It'll be interesting to just have the media there. It'll be almost like a G League game. But obviously, precautions are being taken at this point. Media not allowed in the locker room. If you watched LeBron's press earlier, did you see it?
No, I heard he backtracked.
Well, no, he did. He didn't necessarily backtrack. He just said he was kind of taken by surprise or caught off guard when first asked about it because he hadn't heard anything. However, everybody had to stand about 8 feet away from him. And he made a joke like, man, you know, I miss y'all being close, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
but
I hate that.
It looked rather weird, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, I'm just making sure I have Armand on the line. You know, just when that segment starts.
Armand Lee's on the line. We don't have that producer to answer the phone for us. It's all
well,
good.
Basically, we do both. We do both out here.
Yeah, we manage it ourselves.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, hope everybody's safe out there.
Yeah, because the coronavirus is like, I mean, a lot of people, I'm not going to say what I feel about the coronavirus. There's a lot going on. But let's just say that, you know, we all hope that everybody's safe.
Right? Absolutely. Right? I don't take anything for granted. I really don't.
I know you should. And you shouldn't though, right?
So we'll just go from there. But it's interesting how not just professional sports, but many other industries are being hurt, such as the travel industry, of course.
Yeah.
Airline tickets are going for extremely low right now because they just want to see if they can get people to travel. Do what you feel is best for you. I won't judge you either way.
Of course, man. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And also, this is episode 400.
Can we say that?
It's 400.
Dang, I'm just noticing that.
You know what I'm saying? It's 400,
you know
bro.
What? I feel as though at this point, the show goes on.
It just goes on.
We had celebrated 200.
I know,
and that's
right?
Crazy. That was a while ago. That's a blessing, though.
That's a blessing, man. All right. Will T would normally say this, but he's not in the building. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. Host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee, will join the show to talk about the possible Gervonta Tank Davis-Ryan Garcia fight at 8:20. We'll discuss if the Washington Redskins should target wide receiver Amari Cooper. At 8:30, we'll talk about the Maryland Terps winning the Big Ten title and their chances in the Big Ten tournament. Deputy Managing Editor Cody Wilcox for SB Nation's Testudo Times, one of the top publications covering Maryland basketball and all things Maryland collegiate sports, will be on to join the discussion. At 8:40, Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour podcast will jump on the show to discuss if the Hoyas have a legitimate chance to win the Big East tournament. Finally, at 8:50, we'll debate if LeBron James has taken the lead as the NBA MVP. But first, right now, we have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee, on the line. What's going on, Armand?
Hey, man. What's going on, brothers, man? Thank you so much for having me on. I love to talk boxing with y'all, man. So anytime y'all need to talk about it, man, you always know you can hit me up.
Hey, Armand, we got you on at the beginning of the show, too, so I'm happy about that.
I did that for Ray.
Gives us a little more time, you know, to delve into these topics. But but you know what, though? Before we get started, I got to ask you an NBA question because I see you always posting about basketball. I think you said basketball is bigger than anything for you, right? Bigger than boxing, bigger than football, right? Am I right?
Yeah, the NBA is my favorite sport, slightly over boxing.
Awesome. So quick question. This is a hypothetical. I don't know if you like hypotheticals or not, but I'm going to ask anyway.
I'm with it.
All right, if Zion does not have an injury, is he leading Ja for rookie of the year right now?
Man, y'all better stop it.
If Zion did not have any injuries.
And he played from day one, is he a leader?
Oof, that's tough, Joe. I think, all right, I'm going to answer the question. I don't want to be political with it. I think what happens with rookies, every rookie hits a wall. And you kind of see Ja hit his wall, too. So it's hard to project what Zion would have done playing a whole 82-game season. Because you know at some point he would have hit one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfair, Joe. Like, I don't like how Ja's kind of being overlooked.
Me too, man. I hate that.
But Zion is a different animal, Joe. Like, this dude ain't real. He ain't human, Slim.
He's like dominant, bro. That's what I'm saying.
I would have to go with Zion, but it's unfair because we haven't
appreciate
seen
it.
Him
hit that's
the football wall that has hit Ja.
Thanks,
but
man.
If you were just to compare Morant at his peak to what we're seeing from Zion, dog. And that's the only thing that we can really go off of. Zion is not human, Slim. This dude is like 300 pounds, jumping higher than anybody else. Yeah. Quick. Like, Slim, he just not one of us, bro. So I would have to offer strength to go with Zion.
All I'm saying is that
we can talk boxing now. Thanks, Wally.
No, listen. I'll say this. No. You gonna mention my man Ja. We gonna talk Ja. All right.
Okay.
Ja, I'm just saying that Ja's game ages well. That's all I'm gonna say. His game will age well.
We talking about rookie of the year, brother. Okay. That's it. Okay.
Well, that's a different story. Like, who's exactly. Gonna have a better career exactly. Is different than who will be the best rookie.
Like I said,
right?
We can talk boxing now.
And I want to make sure I say this, Joe. This is no disrespect to Ja, because fault, I think he's being overlooked because, you know, he's not the exciting player. And, you know, Zion got the hype machine behind him.
I know, he does.
But, and Ja's a beast, you know what I'm saying? No disrespect to the brother. But there's a beast, and then you got mutants, you know what I'm saying? And Zion is a mutant out there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know, I get you. All I'm saying, if Ja dunked over Kevin Love, if he got that dunked down, we wouldn't be talking. That's all I'm going to say. If he got that dunked down, we wouldn't be talking.
And look, man, Jack get to the playoffs. You feel me?
Exactly. Like, that's my point. He about to get the squad to the playoffs.
Okay. Like I said, we'll have to discuss this at no time.
All right, man. So it's been reported that Ryan Garcia will be taking on Javante Tank Davis in December. Thoughts on this fight finally? I mean, this fight happening, possibly happening.
First off, I was super excited, man, because we all are boxing fans here, man, and oftentimes, the sport gets in its own way. Like, boxing could just, I mean, it's endless potential of, like, having phenomenal fights and being just a stellar sport. And I think we all would agree, boxing still is an amazing sport. But so often, we don't get the fights that we want to see. And when you look at someone like Tank, I mean, really, you can look at featherweight at 126 all the way up to lightweight at 135. There are so many fights to be made. So many fights. I know you guys have Gary Russell on often. I mean, you just look at the number of top tier fighters. We're talking about Loma. You're talking about Mike. I mean, just so many, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened with Tank, and Wale, you and I have had this conversation privately. He has all the skills. He has all the attributes. He has the talent. But too often, he's just not active. You know what I mean? And you run the risk of... Tank is now... You know, I don't want to say he's a gatekeeper yet, right? Because he's undefeated. He doesn't have a loss. And he still can produce views. Like, people will tune in to watch him. But now you got these young boys like Ryan, like Teofimo, like guys who are coming up because Tank hasn't effectively made the most out of this time set, right? And now you're looking at a chance where this Ryan Garcia... Pardon the pun, is built to be the new golden boy, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this, when you look at his last fight, again, he hasn't fought the top tier guys yet, but he's coming. And that's the one thing that I wish Tank would have had, like that hunger to be like, yo, put me in against anybody. There's a lot of top fighters at this, like, again, from feather to lightweight. Put me in against them. Let me show you how nice I am. Tank hasn't done that. And now you got these new boys coming up, and they are chomping at the bit because everybody sees what Lomachenko is right now. And, you know, he's got a bullseye on his back. Teofimo just kind of leaped everybody to that bet. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go right now. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tank, I'm excited that he's going to step in the ring with a young, promising boxer. But I'm also fearful, like, yo, you got to put up a shut-up now, though, because... You like the glitz and the glamour. Everybody wants to call you the next Floyd, but who was the last next Floyd, right? We saw what happened with Broner. And obviously Tank is much more skilled than what Broner was. But you saw the video that came out a month ago, right?
Yeah.
Tank got some things he got to figure out and work his way through. And if he can just focus in and hone on the skill of boxing and be active and take the challenges, yo, I'm excited. But this is a dangerous kind of step up for not just Ryan, but also Javante as well.
Hey, Armand, I got a question for you. I believe it was Ryan Garcia's dad was saying that part of the reason why they wanted to schedule the fight in December is because he wants Ryan to get his power up. He said that Tank's power is on another level, and he feels that Ryan will have more of that quote-unquote grown man power by then. Do you think that fighters do kind of fear Tank's power in spite of the fact that he is inactive for different reasons?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you don't even have to be a huge boxing fan. You watch Tank fight, especially at weight classes he's at, and his power just pop. I mean, you can see it. Like, just from his, he's built literally like a tank. You know what I'm saying? So, it's smart. I mean, Ryan is a young kid. You see him fight. He's got the rangy skill, but he doesn't have that kind of man strength, that power that if you're going to slug with Tank, and, you know, Tank is skilled enough as a boxer that you want to have to take some shots. I think, you know, Garcia's family and his backer in his corner, they're smart to be like, yo, we need to work on some things. We need to tool up before we get in there with Tank. So, although, and this is, again, goes back to the frustration, right? If Tank were to be active, and if he were to take those challenges, and maybe these guys have ducked him. I've heard, you know, conflicting reports that maybe Tank wants to kind of let certain fights marinate, if you will, and some guys may not be too excited to jump in there with him, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. But imagine if he were being active 2 or 3 fights every single year against the best. Like, we would look at him. I mean, he's not in anybody's pound-for-pound ranking. You understand what I'm saying? And he's got all the skill in the world to be that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his power is definitely intimidating. And I think Ryan Garcia's father and his corner, they're smart to say, yo, we got to work to get to that level. But it's just another reminder of, man, like, I hope he just doesn't squander this opportunity, because he truly has all the skills you would want to be one of the fight game's best.
We always talk about boxer versus the power puncher. In this fight, who would have the advantage? You know, because Ryan Garcia is a talented boxer.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would have to say Tank, just because, you know, Tank still can box. Like, he's not just a puncher. You know, last week we were talking about Wilder and, you know, how Wilder just has a red hand. You know, Tank will chop you down. He's got the left and the right. He goes to the body. He knows how to come out the ring. His footwork is phenomenal. He jabs. He knows how to set up his punches. Tank, again, you know, like, I don't want to sound like a broken record. Tank has, he checks off all the boxes. Dude is an amazing fighter who can box, I should say. Excuse me. Now, again, Garcia, you know, this boy's hungry. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look at the lineage of, you just look at the people who Golden Boy really, really backs. And, like, those dudes are built different. You know what I'm saying? From Canelo, mm-hmm. You understand? Yeah. All the, and like, these dudes don't play. And maybe, you know, it's the Mexican lineage, whatever the case may be, these dudes, they just built different. You understand? So, you know, if it's going to be some shots, I mean, clearly, you know, the Garcia family are telegraphing the Tank, like, yo, we preparing for war. Like, we building the dude up. You understand? Again, you would have to give the edge to Tank, because he's been there, done that. He doesn't have to put on weight. But again, you don't know what all this extracurricular stuff that's floating around Tank. And it's been like this for like the last 2 or 3 years, and it's always something. And, you know, hopefully we get both the fighters to clear mind and completely prepared for an awesome fight at the end of the year.
Yeah, I was wondering, if this fight, for whatever reason, weren't to happen, you talk about Golden Boy, could we at least potentially see Tank in the ring with like a JoJo Diaz? Would you be excited about that fight? Maybe not equally excited, but would you be excited as well about that fight?
Bro, I mean, we could go down a list of fights that I would love for Tank. You know what I'm saying? Like obviously, Ryan has come through. He's got a lot of, you know, I don't want to say sights, because like that implies that, you know, like he's been sized a bit, but he's definitely lived up to a lot of the hype. But mm-hmm. I mean, it could be Leo, it could be Joe. I mean, there's so many guys out there who would be. I mean, you know, there's just so many fights, again, from feather to lightweight. There's so many fights to be made. And if Tank were to get in the ring with, I mean, we could come up with like 5, 6 names that's off the top. If that were to happen, yo, like, you know, Luke. You know, get there with Luke Campbell. Like, go ahead, do it. Lenard, I mean, there's so many fights that you could have with Tank if the Ryan Garcia fight were to fall through.
So, all right, with, you know, Davis, Ian Garcia, could we see WBC featherweight champ, you mentioned Gary Russell Jr., maybe fight Leo Santa Cruz next if this fight goes down? Or will Tank try to get both fights? Will he try to get Santa Cruz and Garcia? You know, obviously, I mean, it's December's a long time away, but we try to get both fights within the calendar year.
You talking about Tank? I mean, Tank. I wish, like, dog, I wish, Leo, and so it's crazy, man. Like, you would have talked to me about Leo about 4 or 5 years ago. Leo was one of my favorite fighters. You know, just love his fighting style. Love him switching the hand, James, and James is so crazy, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, he clearly doesn't want it with Gary, right? Which leaves everything kind of, which leaves everything nuts. Now, Shakur Stevenson is on the way, and he's got to fight this weekend. You know, he looking like a problem. So I don't know. I don't really know what's going on with Gary's camp. I know he really wants to fight Leo. You guys would know better than I. Leo clearly doesn't want that problem. And it's frustrating to go back to circle back to what we were talking about when we started the conversation. Boxing gets in its own way so often. Leo Santa Cruz should have been fought Gary Russell, right? Mm-hmm. Tank should have been fought Lomachenko. Like, these are things like no-brainers. You know what I mean? Like just make the fights. These are the fights that the fans want to see. Again, Shakur Stevenson is coming. You know, I don't know. Again, we'll see how nice he looks on Saturday, but he a runaway train. He's a problem, for real.
Oh, yeah.
And again, we've got all these phenomenal fighters, like, separated by 9 pounds. And these guys move up and down whenever they feel like it. Like, there's so many fights to be had. If you tell me that you can pencil Tank in for 2 more fights in 2020, I'm with it. I think we all, like, people like to see Gervonta Davis fight because he's a phenomenal fighter. He just doesn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's probably a good talking point as to why he's not as active and how that can translate to some troubles that he has in his out-of-the-ring life. Everybody wants to be Floyd. Everybody wants the glamour. Everybody wants to be A-side. Everybody wants to be the best. But so few guys want to be dedicated, singularly focused at being the best. The hard work and dedication isn't just a mantra. Mm. That's a lifestyle, Joe. Like, it sounds cool on 24/7, but say what you want about Floyd as the man. But when it comes to boxing, he don't play. And you saw how Broner has kind of failed at trying to live up to that. We just have to hope that Tank doesn't follow suit with AB.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We are chatting with the host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee. So, Armand, this is the last question before we have you go. In terms of the state, you're talking about Tank. Well, you're talking about Tank and all these other opponents, but you didn't mention Tank and Gary, right? So I always got to throw that in there, Tank and Gary. Like, in your opinion, why hasn't that fight gone down?
That's tough, right? Because that's, again, 2 years ago, that's an easy fight, right? Baltimore, yeah. D.C., bong, yeah. Bong, it should have happened. Personally, I've heard conflicting reports about, you know, who kind of shied away from that. Mm-hmm. From what I've heard, you know, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I heard that Gary's camp was kind of like, maybe not, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, again, It's tough because you don't ever. I always think it's nasty when certain guys get up there and say guys are ducking. It's not really ducking if there are more logical fights to kind of build up your fighter. Again, you look at Gary, one of the best fighters in the world. No disrespect to the brother. Mm. And then you look at Tank. There's a legit power difference. You can just visibly see, like, okay, there is a difference between these two from a power standpoint. So if I'm Gary Russell's camp, I'm like, hold on. Before I even talk about Tank, dog, like, again, back to Leo. Let's get to Leo. Hell, Gary wanted to fight Lomachenko. He's been begging for Lomachenko again. I don't know how smart that is, but he's been begging for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if I'm Gary Russell's camp, those fights make more sense from just seeing where my fighter is. And not to say that Tank is better than Lomachenko, but we know styles make fights.
Mm-hmm.
Tank comes, again, he's called Tank for a reason, right?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Gervonta Davis, just look. You don't even have to look at the knockout. Just look at him. You can see, okay, this dude has a certain physical pop on his punches. And if I'm Gary Russell's people, I'm like, okay, before we do that, we can run through some of these other fighters that make more sense based upon the style and the size of our guy. So, yes, from Baltimore, D.C., Russell, Tank probably should have happened by now, right? I don't know. Just with the career and just the sizes of these two guys, I don't know if we see that now because it looks like Tank has eyes on moving up in weight.
I know. That's the thing. Tank's trying to go up, and he has, his eyes are set on other things. But, hey, Armand, we appreciate you for being on. But what do you have featured on the next podcast, and how can folks catch you on Twitter, on social media?
Yeah, man. Check out my the Quarterly Report podcast each and every Tuesday. Sometimes it comes out Monday nights. But if you're looking at me on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts, Tuesdays this week, we broke down Tom Brady and who would be best served if you were to leave New England, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady. We talked about counting stats. I'm a big analytics guy. And, you know, in the NBA, so many people look to PPG as a way to determine who's a better player. Bradley Bill. So I break down how
exactly.
I break down how, you know, we need to be a little bit more sophisticated in 2020. Plus, you know, the MVP race, everybody talks about how LeBron has caught up. No, he hasn't. It's still Giannis. So we break down all that stuff, have a lot of good time, have a lot of fun, man. Check me out, Quarterly Report Podcast, and follow me on social media at Quarterly Show. That's Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-L-E-E Show.
Hey, Armand, man, you know I appreciate you. We appreciate you, my man. Thanks for being on, my man.
Hey, man, y'all already know what's happening to our family anytime.
All right, thanks, man. Stay blessed. All right, man, that is Armand Lee from the Quarterly Report podcast. Make sure you subscribe to his podcast on Stitch, on iTunes, Google Play, all that good stuff. The podcasts are being heard. I don't want to say sold because it's free. Heard. All right. Should the Skins target Amari Cooper? We'll discuss this after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Saints for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Team with myself, Wole, and Ray. Will T is out. All right. Mentioned it before the break, but should the Washington Redskins target free agent wide receiver Amari Cooper?
Well, that is an interesting question from the simple fact that based on what Amari Cooper has been saying, he wants to be a Cowboy. I believe he even accepted the franchise tag, so I don't think he has any interest in coming to Washington.
That franchise tag got to make sure it has to – It depends, though.
And if I'm him making that decision, does Washington look appealing to me at this point? As of now, as of today, this week, before the draft, does Washington look appealing? I'm going to say no.
He's high on the target list, and he's been linked to the Skins already. He's been linked to them.
And he's going to cost a lot of money from the Redskins standpoint.
Yeah, he will. He will cost a lot of money. Is in there, and Ron Rivera has already stated that he's – eyeing a high level
now,
wide receiver.
If you invest, into Amari Cooper, and let's say, going back to our previous discussion, Austin Hooper, I think that's actually a good situation for your offense with a healthy Darius Geis in the backfield.
Yeah,
that's a good situation. Terry McLaurin coming off a strong rookie campaign. Yeah. I think it's a good choice. However, to me, there are a lot of question marks right now. Mm. If he's simply going for a payday, you definitely want to consider Washington. Yeah. But if you want to win, then you need to explore all options. I'm not saying the Cowboys.
Yeah, but if you want to win, go up.
I'm not saying the Cowboys. Right. I'm saying explore all options.
Yeah.
Now, Amari Cooper also, to me, he shows that he's versatile. He thrived in Oakland until, for whatever reason, that situation deteriorated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you see what he's done in Dallas. So he could adapt to whatever style of play the Redskins want to play. It's just a matter of what is his ultimate, you know, goal. Is it to win? Is it to get to the Super Bowl? Because if that's the goal, then you may not even want to consider the Cowboys. It's just that he's enjoyed most of his success there. And that's what I'm saying. Do you want to mess up what you've already started and take a step back and going to Washington? Because clearly, based on the rivalry, the Cowboys have had the edge. Do you want to go on the losing end of that rivalry, or do you want to tip the scale in the other favor? It's again, depends on what he wants to. If I'm him, I feel as though I'm going to explore all options.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, McCarthy might be a good choice. However, you don't have Aaron Rodgers. You got Dak Prescott and their run heavy football team with Zeke in the backfield, who you've already invested a lot of money in. I'm thinking you look at other teams.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm Amari Cooper, I'm a wide receiver. I feel like I'm an elite level route runner. I'm like you said, Ray, I'm versatile. Mm-hmm. I'm always going for the better quarterback because the better quarterback makes me look better. He makes me a better wide receiver. You know what I mean? Or pass happy offense. You know what I'm saying? I would look in that route if I'm Amari Cooper. If I'm looking for stats and, you know, trying to put myself on a level with some of these other, you know, talked about wide receivers. Like, I'm going to put myself in that situation. It'll be more of a wide open offense type of thing.
One reason why I think he's thrived, too, in Dallas, because they play indoors. I think that does play a role.
Yeah.
Now, you got other teams like the Saints, who the Saints don't necessarily need him, but imagine if he would go there.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. But also, Detroit could use a top-tier wide receiver.
Definitely.
And they play indoors. And Stafford is a strong quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe that also would be a good situation in a division where, to be honest, it's wide open.
Yeah.
You can't say Chicago is definitively ahead of Minnesota or Green Bay. You can't say Green Bay is at the top right now. That's a wide open division. He could look at that. Again, if your number one choice is based on winning, then you got to look at other teams. And I think those two teams, the Saints and the Lions, are teams you could look at.
But I think he's looking for a bag. I mean, I think he's had good.
Well, that's the case. Then Washington is a good option.
He wants to be compensated. I mean, obviously, if there's a situation where he can get the bag, and he's got an ideal situation, I think he'll take that situation.
He's an awesome route runner.
I think I love Amari Cooper's game. When you look at my thing, and you said it again about his time in Oakland, he thrived in Oakland. He thrived with the Cowboys. People forget Dak Prescott was struggling before Amari Cooper got there.
Most definitely.
And then Amari Cooper turned Dak Prescott's season around. Post the same question on Twitter. At the Hawks Die tweeted, said, "This is an interesting thought. If the CBA gets approved next week, Dallas will only have one franchise tag, and they'll probably use it on Dak Prescott. Amari would be the top of the market, expensive, but the Skins can afford it." So, the Skins do have a lot of money under the cap, especially, you know, with the whole Trent Williams situation. My man David Arthur Wilcox tweeted, "No, he wouldn't want Amari Cooper." Also,
I would go
also,
young too if I'm the Redskins.
And also, Hawk Diesel tweeted no on Twitter. So, it's funny because, like, for me, when I look at Amari Cooper for the Washington Redskins, well, I'm looking for the quarterback. I think that's the thing we have to look at. You got to give him all the weapons in the world to be successful, especially right now where it's going to be. Where, to me, at this point in time, any quarterback is, you're not expert on reading defenses and whatnot. You heard Patrick Mahomes, right? When he was on, was LeBron's show on HBO? Or is it
The Shop.
The Shop. He was on The Shop, and he stated that, like, he, to year two, he didn't know how to read defenses, but with experience, he's getting better and better at it. But it makes it easier when you have talent around you. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, things are kind of open for you, but you don't have to kind of look at, you don't have to be perfect at reading defenses, but Patrick Mahomes, like you said, like, I feel like I can make all the throws. He can make all the throws. But also, Andy Reid made it easy for him because, with one, to add talent, and the scheme kind of helped him out to a point where he didn't have to become a pro at reading defense. He's getting better at reading defense. He said that. But he hasn't been an expert at reading defense. So for Dwayne Haskins, what I'm saying on the flip side for Dwayne Haskins is that, why not right now, when he's learning to read defenses, make it easy for him. Give him as much talent as you can in terms of the skill position. That way, you know what I'm saying, you're not putting so much on his shoulders. So getting a guy like Amari Cooper makes life a little bit easier, because now you got Terry McLaurin, Amari Cooper, guys who get open, guys who run good routes, are not just deep threats. They run good routes. They, you know what I'm saying? So it gives Haskins a better chance to find open wide receivers rather than trying to read defenses and say this, that, oh, is this safety coming over? Well, your wide receiver's wide open because he broke everything down for you.
And it gives you a legitimate number one receiver.
Yeah.
But I'm with some of the people that I've heard, you know, just the chatter about, you know, trading back, getting extra picks, possibly drafting Judy. You can take, you know, a defensive end later on in the draft.
But I'm all right.
Because I like the youth movement at receiver, man. It's worked wonders for the team I root for. So either way, you can't go wrong. Yeah. But
yeah,
Amari Cooper, going back to him, he's a legitimate number one receiver.
Yeah, to me.
And we've liked him since he's come out of school, man. So he's going to be good regardless of where he goes. It's just a matter of, is it going to be in the NFC East or which team? And the NFC East is another division that's wide open. So to me, you can't make the wrong choice in this situation because, as we've seen, Philly won it with what? What was their record, 9-7?
Yeah.
Come on now.
It was a bad – actually, it was really average, a real average record. Was it 8-8 or 9-7?
I want to say it was 9-7.
I said maybe it was. It doesn't really matter. All right, the Terps are Big Ten champions. Will the Terps win the Big Ten tourney too? Testudo Times' Cody Wilcox will join the show after the break. You listen to Urban Sports saying fight. Just dig deuces. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Ole, and Ray Jeezy. Will T's out. Yeah, I'm a bad Ray.
That's all right.
You know what I'm saying?
The show goes on, baby, just like the intro. It's that simple.
I hate you.
I'm not mad at you at all.
All right, man. Right now, we have Deputy Managing Editor Cody Wilcox for SB Nation's Testudo Times, one of the top publications covering Maryland athletics. What's up? What's up, Cody?
What's up, guys? I appreciate you having me back on. You know, it's been a while, but I'm glad to be back on with you guys. We always have some pretty good conversations, whether we're talking Maryland football or basketball, so I appreciate it.
Hey, Cody, obviously big news, not just the Maryland men, but I want to give a shout-out to the ladies, too. They, again, won the Big Ten tournament. I think it was a special day for basketball, for the program, and also for being in the Big Ten. I even saw on Twitter where the school put out something saying to the effect, you laughed at us for coming to the Big Ten, said we didn't belong, now look at us. So, you know, how was your emotions, you know, how are you feeling, I should say, after seeing, you know, both the men and women win the Big Ten on Sunday?
You know, I think it's really, you know, good for just the school overall because, obviously, I think the men's team gets a little bit more attention, but the women's under, you know, head coach Brenda Fries, she is a great coach. I actually covered the women's team last year, and they were very good, and they got some new pieces this year, and you obviously see, you know, Kyla Charles in her senior year just doing what she does, and Taylor Mitzel just building off a big freshman year. So, you know, I follow them pretty closely too, and they've been doing great stuff. So you definitely can't overlook them as far as, you know, their tournament coming up either.
Now, Cody, we're going to go to the men's side. Obviously, it's a big deal. We just identified that. However, the last time we had you on, which was months ago, I told you, I don't expect the shooting woes to continue, especially with a guy like Aaron Wiggins on your team. But the shooting woes have lasted all season, yet they still win the conference. How significant is it that, you know, these guys, through toughness, through grit, through never giving up, even though they fell behind so frequently, winning this conference in spite of the fact that from the perimeter, they just haven't been consistent?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, last time I talked to you, you know, I told you there's nothing to worry about. And all season, I think Aaron Wiggins and Aaron Isle have had, you know, up and down years, and it's a long season, so you expect them, if they have a bad game, to you know, jump back, and it didn't really happen at times, you know. But I will say this, you know, Aaron Wiggins and Eric Ayala are coming off some pretty good games. You know, Ayala scored his season high 19 points. Both of them were 3 of 4 from deep, and you know, for that to come in the last game of the season and to win a Big Ten regular season title, I got to say, you know, that's, as far as for Terp fans, that's got to be a great sign, you know, heading into the postseason with the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament, to, just to see how they build off that, you know, finally contributing. Because along with their points, along with, you know, Cowan's 20 and Jalen Smith's 18, that those four players scored 72 points, and that's the most they have combined to score all season. So I think that's, you know, a great time for the team going into postseason.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have Testudo's Times, Cody Wilcox on the line. So, Cody, the Terps, you know, they won a division, won the conference, excuse me, have a good opportunity to win the Big Ten conference tourney as well too. Should Turgeon get more credit?
You know, it's funny. At the beginning of the year, you know, they started off 3-3 in conference play, and you know, they eventually went on to a 9-game win streak, which was just, you know, great to be a part of and witness, because you know, they had to come back a couple times and they had to win on the road in the toughest conference in college basketball, you know? So I think Turgeon doesn't get enough credit of what he's done this season. You know, it's like I said, it's the toughest conference in basketball, and to win his first Big Ten title, you know, in the school's first Big Ten title in this conference, I think, you know, he deserves more credit in that aspect.
I agree. But at the same time, for those who say that Turgeon mismanaged the amount of talent that he's had, I kind of also agree with that, because I do think that they're so good. I mean, they lost the Twins. With the Twins on the roster, to me, they were so deep. You talk about Dante Scott also being young, coming off the bench. Cowan, Ayala, Jalen Smith, the leadership, Morcell. They have a really, really good team. And they're so good defensively. I just feel as though they still haven't even hit their ceiling yet, which is good, or their peak yet, because come tournament time, you're going to want your best from these experienced guys, these athletes, and again, these guys who are really good from the perimeter as well. And I'm including Jalen Smith in that. I just feel like they have a really strong team, and they should have been at some point ranked number one in the country. But, you know, still a win for Turgeon winning the conference.
Yeah, and I will say, at the beginning of the season, you know, Dante Scott, you know, he's built like a linebacker, and he has such a great game, and I'm so excited to see what he does in, you know, his tenure at Maryland. But they really have like a 6-man rotation. That's what they do with Aaron Wiggins coming off the bench. It's really effective. The only thing that I've you know, thought of is the minutes distribution that you kind of talk about. Yeah. You know, especially during the season, I wonder how much that wears on the six guys' legs. You know, and they got pretty good players that could come in every once in a while. You know, Sorrell Smith Jr. But the one thing, you know, I want to keep an eye on going into, you know, postseason is, obviously you mentioned Jalen Smith, and there's been a couple times when he's gotten into foul trouble. Mm-hmm. When he does that, they go to Joshua Tomajic and Ricky Lindo Jr., and obviously, you know, as great of players as those are, they're not Jalen Smith. Right. So that's going to be one of the keys going into the Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament, is making sure he stays out of foul trouble.
So I'm looking at Izzo. I never count him out. I learned that a long time ago. I've lost money because of Michigan State in the past. So going into the Big Ten tournament, what is your expectation, and how can any momentum that you garner, and again, playing in a conference tournament, the best conference in the country, how can that help you going into the NCAA tournament? And what do you just expect in the postseason from these Terps?
Well, I think the fact that they finally, you know, broke through against Michigan most recently and won that Big Ten title, I think that gives the team a lot of confidence, especially since they weren't able to do it, you know, with Michigan State at home with the lights on and then at Rutgers. But I think finally breaking through and getting that title against Michigan, you know, will give them some momentum. Now, obviously, on the schedule, it looks like a potential rematch of maybe Penn State, Maryland, one of the worst losses that the Terps suffered this year. As far as that goes, I think Maryland gets through there, and like you said, then it looks like they could possibly match up against Izzo. That's going to be a tough matchup. Because obviously, in the last game they faced the Spartans, they went down 14-5, and they just couldn't overcome that deficit. And it's tough when your opponent, when Michigan State shoots 42% from deep and has 19 second chance points, you're not going to win that game. So the one thing I will say is that I don't look for that to happen again, and it's going to be on a neutral floor, which should be interesting. That one's a toss-up for me, but at the moment, I can't count out Izzo. As far as the other side, my team this year that I've been really impressed with as far as, overall play is, and not a lot of people say this, but Iowa, obviously the Big Ten play of the year, and Luka Garza, they got Joe Wieskamp. They've really been great, and I have them get to the Big Ten championship and facing Michigan State.
Oh, wow. All right. No faith in Maryland?
I have it as a 2-point game at the moment because it is on a neutral site, but it's just, it really depends on the shooting from both teams, who makes the most shots and things like that. And don't get me wrong, Michigan State's going to have their hands full with whether it's going to be Ohio State or Purdue. I don't know yet. I think Ohio State a little bit, but you never know with these tournaments, especially with the fact that, there was a 3-way tie for the Big Ten title, and it's really a toss-up. There's really no favorite in my mind, so we'll definitely see.
Agree with that.
Hey, so Cody, before I let you go, let our listeners know what you all got going on at Tuxedo Times and how they can catch you on social media.
Yeah, so you can follow us at Tuxedo Times on Twitter and Instagram. You can go ahead and shoot me a follow on Twitter as well. That's Cody_Wilcox15. We're leaving for the Big Ten tournament on Thursday, and we'll have plenty of coverage for the Terps.
Hey, Cody, thank you so much for being on. We appreciate you. And we're going to have hopefully we'll have you on next week for the tournament.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Cody.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. That's Cody. Cody Wilcox from Tuxedo Times. Make sure you check them out. They cover all Maryland collegiate sports, man. Great guy. All right. Does Patrick Ewing have some Big East magic? Patrick Waring from the MBS Sports Hour podcast will join the show to talk about the Hoyas' chances to win the Big East tournament after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Lane for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Conception, I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness, I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and carbon tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a, your arm will probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA.
You said John Morant's vegan.
Nah, I'm joking. I mean, I'm predominantly vegan myself, so that don't mean you can be like ultra skinny. So it's a joke. But he needs to gain a little weight though. He needs a protein shake in his life.
He will maybe hopefully
gradually. I don't want to mess Jay up.
Exactly. All right. So right now we have Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour podcast on the line. The NBS Sports Hour podcast covers Georgetown Hoyas basketball. What's up, Pat?
Yo, what's up, man? How you doing?
Everything's gravy, my man. It's coming up, man. Big East tournament. We grew up on this, man. AI. Ray Allen. It ain't like the old Big East, though, tournament. It don't have that same vibe, though.
Hey, you got to go back to, like, Joey Brown, Alonzo, Dikembe.
Church.
You just going to put AI there? Yeah, exactly.
I know what Hoyas, dog. Churchwell. Churchwell, of course. I know, bruh. I know. I'm a Hoyer fan for real. I'm just saying. Currently, like when I think of the Big East tournament, I think about that game.
USA Arena. Tell him, Pat.
No doubt, man. Like I said, I love it. I definitely love this time of year. Period. But definitely, like I said, the Big East. You think about the history, you know, with everything local, being able to watch that. But just with all the teams in the conference, I know the conference is not the same.
Yeah.
But it's still the Big East, though, and I think the conference has done a great job at surprising people. When they shook this thing up, a lot of people was like, the Big East is dead. It's not going to be the same. And yeah, some of the names have changed, but I mean, if you look at the years, they're still putting teams in the tournament. Villanova has some championships. They're getting recruits. Mm. So the Big East is still relevant.
Man, bring back Syracuse, man. That's what we want. You know.
UConn coming back next season, so that's a start.
Yeah, I know. Everybody wants, you know, they want those two teams back. You have Syracuse back, now we cooking with Greece. I think that nothing matters after that. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Pat, real quick, as a side note, why you think Marcus Howard don't get the love nationally? Is it because he's short or, like, what is it?
Oh, he light-skinned?
Yeah, it is interesting with him. He definitely puts up points. I think sometimes, I don't know if it's still the way some people feel about the conference. I don't know if it's what they feel about Marquette, but it definitely does feel like there's something lacking there as far as the attention. The guy can score. He can put the ball in the basket for them. And it might have to do with tournament success too. Sometimes you see guys doing stuff during the year, but if you're getting early exits out of the tournament or not getting far, a lot of times people tend to overlook you a little bit.
I guess you got to be, like, overwhelmingly talented, kind of like Ben Simmons. If you don't make the tournament, you got to be a number one caliber pick. But
something about Marquette, though, real talk, though.
About Marquette.
D-Wade
got love when he was there.
But Jay Crowder didn't. And Jay Crowder was, like, he was a good baller in Marquette.
Jimmy Butler got some love.
No, he did. Not really.
I'm just trying to think of some names, man. I really can't. You know what? You know, I take that back. I can't think of right now, but one of these days I will. It's
well, you know, Wade is pretty Big East, but Wade is probably the biggest name from Marquette, in a minute.
Ever, yeah. Mm-hmm. I will agree with that. I'm spoofing right now on names, but I'll come back to it later. But moving to the Terps, I'm sorry. The Hoyas. My bad. Moving along to it. I hit you up on Twitter, I think, right after the DePaul game. And I was like, dude, they are playing hard, but they're just not healthy. Terrell Allen was trying to carry the team. Year 7's playing on one leg. Just what are your overall feelings right now about the squad? I feel like they're playing hard for Pat, but they're just not healthy enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how I feel. I mean, it's unfortunate. I was talking to Joe about it before, talking to other people. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is nobody's going to feel bad for you, right? If you're not a Georgetown fan, if you're either a fan of another team in the Big East, nobody's going to feel bad for you. But it is what it is, man. I just think because of the last time, matter of fact, the last time I was on, that was right when guys were leaving the program. Yeah. So you dealt with that. Then, like you say, injuries. Max missed a lot of games. Yurts missed a lot of games. I just think the guys are gassed, and I think they come out and they compete. They're not making excuses. They're not complaining. But I just think it is what it is. Everybody loves minutes. Everybody loves being able to play. You're getting all the shots you can. Yeah. But at some point, these guys are just hitting a wall, and guys that are currently playing are playing through injuries as well. Yeah. But so I think they're giving it everything they can. They're not making excuses. They're competing. I just think it is what it is.
So, Pat, tomorrow at 7, Madison Square Garden, Hoyas are taking on St. John's. What a great matchup. Two traditional Big East teams. Both are playing the best basketball. But will the Hoyas have, Jurtsevin or McClung? Will they have both in this game?
I don't think we'll see McClung again. That's my opinion. I don't think we'll see him again. I'll be surprised if we see Yurt. Maybe we will. Maybe they've been kind of holding him back. There was a lot of talk about he was actually medically cleared, but he didn't feel right. There's been speculation. Like I said, this is nothing from the program, but there's been speculation. People are thinking, is he just
getting ready
for the next step and stuff? So possibly him out there. I doubt we'll see McClung. It just looked bad for him the last time he was out there, and you see him with the boot on and stuff. So now the bad part is you're missing those guys. the good part is they have been used to playing without them. So, well, does that mean they'll win? No, but at least they're used to guys are stepping up now. They're used to not having them out there on the court. So that, you know, if you want to try to pull a positive, you could do that. Also, the biggest tournament is going to be tough for every team. Even Villanova, Seton Hall, all those guys, I think, are going to be in a dogfight. I think if I got to look for another positive with the Hoyas, I think this is the best kind of draw and setup that they have. I think playing St. John's is a team that they swept during the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they have confidence there. And, you know, if you look down on the other side of the bracket real quick, you're avoiding Villanova early, you're avoiding Seton Hall, you're avoiding Marquette. So when you go back up to their possibles, you got St. John's, like I said, a team that they beat. If they can get past St. John's, you look at Creighton on Thursday. Creighton's going to be without Marcus Zegarowski. Berger is last name, but they're going to be without him. Mm. He had a meniscus injury in the knee. This is a guy that just lit them up not too long ago, 20 points. Mm. So he's an all Big East guy. So maybe you catch them slipping.
Mm.
Then you look at possible matchup with the Butler, who you split during the season. So I think if I was going to try to map out a way for them, I think this is a perfect situation. Now you got to go out, you got to win it on the court, but I would much rather have this pass than those guys to be down on the bottom side.
Definitely. Hey, Pat, man, we know we appreciate you for being on the show.
NIT, Pat.
Don't listen,
baby.
To him, man. Don't listen to him, Pat. We're going to shock the world. All right, we're going to shock the world. All right. Hey, Pat, before I let you go, man, let our listeners know about your recent podcast and also how they can subscribe to it and follow you on social media.
Yeah, so they can follow me personally at Waring Patrick. That's at Twitter, WARING Patrick. Or the pod, NBS Sports Hour. You can follow us there on Twitter and Instagram. Like you said before, man, we talk about a little bit of everything. We definitely love home, so we talk a lot of local sports, Wizards, Hoyas, Redskins, everything local we love. And then we also talk about everything else around. We talk about music, movies, everything.
That sounds depressing. But it's okay. I guess we're in the same boat,
oh,
right?
You know why you say we're in the same boat.
Redskins, Wizards, Georgetown. That sounds difficult.
I'm going to need you to stop, man. I'm totally kidding.
Hey, we appreciate you, Pat. Dominic James, Steve Novak, just to throw your names out there.
Exactly. My point exactly. Dominic J. Exactly. They get no love. Hey, Pat, thanks, man.
No problem. Thanks all a lot, guys. Right. I appreciate it as always.
Man, hopefully, the Hoyas shock the world will have you on next week. There's chances on that
team. Hey, look. Like you guys mentioned, UConn's coming back.
Uh-huh.
We're getting them back in the conference. In 2011, Kemba took those guys on a ride.
That's true, right?
Hey, there's no Jerry McNamara or Kemba Walker on this team. I'm sorry to say.
Hey, go ahead, man.
You know I love Jerry McNamara.
We got Blair, man. Blair's been killing.
I'm going to predict right now. If the Hoyas knock off some games, it's definitely going to be a team effort. I love what Allen brings. I love what Mosley brings.
Mm-hmm.
If the Hoyas are going to win, we're going to need some major plays from Pickett.
Yeah, Pickett needs to step up. I'm sorry. He needs to step up. He needs to step up. Like, all the talk about Pickett for a couple years now, like, it's about that time, man. It's about that time. I ain't trying to say he got to be all NBA or something, or, you know, that type of level in the tournament, but he's got to show what people have been talking about, you know, for a while.
No doubt.
All right. Hey, Pat, man, thanks again, my man.
All right, appreciate it.
All right. Is LeBron the MVP? We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to Urban Sports saying, for Aitis, you dig? Doses. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team. Russell Wole, Ray Jeezy. We'll tease out. All right, man. LeBron James, King James, had an impressive couple of games. Last Friday, he outplayed the Greek Freak in a victory over against the Bucks. Then he followed that with a big victory over Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Right now, is LBJ leading the race for the MVP?
Here's why I think he is. Ooh, is anybody factoring in this man's age and the mileage this man
good
has, bro?
Yeah.
You have to factor that in. And if you do, to me, that tips the scales. I love Giannis. He has worked harder than mm-hmm. anybody
on this game.
But LeBron James at his age, considering how many playoff games, how many NBA finals games, the Olympics, you factor in all. Excuse me.
What happened?
Did you see?
No, that? I just missed out on my phone. What happened?
Gary Payton the third. He slipped. He just slipped. Wide open fast break layup dunk.
That's the sign of a horrible ass.
He just falls down.
That's the sign of, you know what it is. It's
look, build like, that.
That's why this team sucks, though. Only this
that should go.
It's gonna be shot in the foot.
It's like going on like ridiculous.
I know.
Watch it. Here we go. It's a replay. I'm sorry, guys. If you listen, watch this. Now, this is supposed to just be a layup, bro. Look at this. My dunk. Look, watch.
Shaq and the Bull. Yeah, look at
bro. You can't get no worse than this.
Oh, hell no, man.
I'm sorry.
Oh, bro. That was funny. I'm sorry.
All right. Yes, if you factor in all that, I believe that LeBron James is the MVP. You got to show love. This man's been doing it this long and this good. This consistent. There's no other player in professional sports that you can think of that has done it this long, this good. Maybe Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's won. But still, basketball is a different beast,
Manning,
and he's not playing quarterback.
I guess Peyton Manning too, right? To a certain extent.
Sure. I mean, if you want to throw those guys in there, but again, playing quarterback and playing pretty much every position LeBron plays, I think is more physically grueling and taxing on LeBron. So you just got to factor that in. I believe, again, that outweighs what Giannis is doing.
Well, so I posted on our Facebook page and Twitter, all our social media platforms. On Facebook, about LBG MVP, Troy Perry said, it's a two-man race. Giannis is currently ahead, but by a hair. I think Giannis is ahead of LeBron.
Oh, no pun intended,
yeah,
I hope.
I know, right? Shots fired! Boom, 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 boom! I think that I know, right? I think Giannis is ahead of LeBron. I hate you. Ahead of LeBron. But I will say that when it comes to, and we saw this over the weekend in the Clippers game, most definitely, that, and we kind of forget, LeBron, I thought LeBron was in LeBron NBA Finals mode, like, in that game. And LeBron NBA Finals mode, because you don't get that every game in the regular season with LeBron. When he's driving to the basket, doing whatever it takes to kind of propel his team to a victory, there is nobody in today's NBA that's better. Now, when we get to, you know what I'm saying, everyday grind of the NBA season and, you know, just playing basketball, like just trying to put yourself in a situation for seeding, I think Giannis is the MVP of the season. But we were talking about this is a game, must-win game. When you get that LeBron, there's nobody better.
Here's what I'll say about that. You know the Clippers are a threat if he had to play like that in the regular season.
They are a threat.
And here's why.
Yeah, they are a threat.
Chicago Bulls, Derrick Rose in his prime.
Yeah.
They swept the Miami Heat in the regular season. LeBron, I don't care. I know we can beat you in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Even they went to Chicago, dropped game one in that series, and they won four straight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Indiana Pacers, Paul George years, they used to routinely beat LeBron James in the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we can come back and beat you guys. But the Clippers, he had to send a message that, look, you guys are good, but trust me, I'm still here, and I got to show you now because you guys, I respect you. That I feel like that was a respect game, but I also feel like they finally mastered the intensity. And if LeBron does that, like you said, there's nobody in basketball that can stop him.
And it gets to, and to add to your point,
they play harder.
You
got
a dude that everybody's now saying is the best player in the NBA on the other side, right, in Kawhi.
Kawhi do be dry frying, I don't know.
No, he do be frying, period. Kawhi be frying, period. But in this game, in that game, LeBron took the challenge. He checked with Kawhi, did a decent job, honestly, down the stretch on Kawhi.
I can't dispute
that. Yeah, and, you know, I think when you get that LeBron, we seen him against the Warriors when the Warriors had everybody in the sun and he was trying to carry the Cleveland Cavaliers by himself to win a game against the Warriors where that team shouldn't have won anything. Like, when you get that LeBron, like, he's better than anybody in the league.
I agree, especially as a closer. However, to me, what tipped the scales is the Lakers had a better twin. Because Marcus Morris, he was just outright horrible.
But really, but you
and
watched,
then you going to me, he awoken Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I know. But like, real talk, like, he did wake up, Mark. He did wake up Davis. But it's also, Keith didn't have a good game either, though.
No.
But he wasn't, like,
he just wasn't bad. He just wasn't that bad.
He wasn't that.
Marcus Morris was horrible.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
gosh.
And he can shoot, though, for real. I don't know what happened.
Marcus Morris can't shoot. I'm just saying.
I just think
the moment got to him, for real. But to me, that was the biggest difference.
And when he had to
go 0 for 9 and 0 for 7 from 3.
And, bro, when he had to check LeBron, that wasn't a
good was hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
They left that man on the island, bro.
And
then you got flexed on. Like, as a man.
I knew you were going to say.
Bro. You got to go back and say, you know what? In this situation, I need help.
Yeah,
I think you can't be prideful. But
it can't be that pickup game.
To me, that was the biggest thing. You had the worst twin on the Clippers that night.
But you can't. It's not like you can't have that pickup mentality, right? When you're getting your ass bust and like.
Nah, he just got thrown on the island. I'm like, come on. You got Montrez, who's a dog on the court. Like, put Montrez on. Don't leave.
Oh, Montrez, they didn't have. Didn't favor really good too when he got the switch on LeBron.
I still would favor him over Marcus Morris. I mean, it looked too easy.
Oh, man.
Too easy. At least you're going to foul him and make him miss.
Yeah, Trez would have fouled him, though. Trez definitely.
You got to foul him to where he can't make the shot. That's the type of fouls Anthony Davis gets all the time.
Yeah.
You notice that? Yeah. Like, he can't finish because they wrap him up. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. On Twitter, my man Mike Knox tweeted, yeah, LeBron is the MVP.
Mike Knox was good, baby.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, I'm on the side saying LeBron, you know, it's a season thing, man. And I think Giannis has been the most consistent dude throughout the season. But yeah, Ray has you have a very good point, man. You put in age.
Tips the scales.
Yeah, put in age and be able to kind of reinvent yourself. Now he's playing the one. I mean, he's basically been the one all his life, but he's now the official one of the team. Leads the league in assists. There's a lot, you know, like to Ray's point that, yeah, LeBron could, you know, should factor in him in that, you know, MVP voting for that award. But, you know, Giannis has been special. I don't want anything to shortchange Giannis. Giannis has been special.
Totally agree.
So
I don't think for the voters, age will factor in. I think they're just looking at the body of work this season and to see who has the best record.
And CP3, get CP3 some love in the voting too, man. No one thought OKC was going to be a playoff team.
He should receive some consideration, no doubt. Before we end, Bomani Jones yesterday said one of the funniest things about the Houston Rockets.
What did he say?
He said, look, there are so many guys walking around in the world who are 6'5 and under. If there was going to be a team of 6'5 dudes that could win a championship, it would have been done before. He was like, what magical idea did you think this was, making a bunch of 6'6 and under dudes come together to try to win a championship? He's like, it makes no sense. And I was like, dang, that is true, though. It's like all of us would be in the league if they were looking for guys our height or, you know, about 6'3 to 6'5. The league is obviously built with guys who are tall, you know, long, athletic. And right now, the Rockets just don't have none of that. PJ Tucker is your center. Come on, bro. That's hilarious. Anyways, it's a side note.
It's kind of.
But they went on a streak.
They were getting so much good, though.
That's why the media, I tell you, will flip on you in a heartbeat.
I know, man. They're the devil, man.
But it is. But right now, it's looking funny because Orlando beat the brakes off of them.
I sure did. You know what I'm saying? Sure did. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, man. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Save for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie.